This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see most of those guys out there. I don't know about this game, if every one of those guys will be out there. I'm not sure about the offensive line completely yet. But, you know, they probably won't be out there with Lamar. But as far as most of the rest of the guys, they will be. We're pretty young. It's not like we'll have a ton of guys not playing over the course of the preseason. So we'll see all the guys we need to, and it'll be quite a few guys.
So that's John Harbaugh on Wednesday saying quite a few of their starters are going to play in this game. So what exactly do you think he means? Who are we going to see tonight?
Well, I mean, he's hinted a couple times this week that, you know, maybe less guys are completely off the table than we might assume. So it did get me thinking to, like, okay, well, who are some established veterans or key guys or starters outside of rookies who we know, you know, projected rookie starters who we know are going to play, who we might want to see. And the guy I spent the most time thinking about, honestly, was Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, training camp is great, and like him just being available is great, but I think he also needs to hit the ground running a little bit. And I think you only can learn so much in sort of these situations with your own teammates that are very sort of homogenized and sterile. Like, and yes, they'll have that week with the Packers, you know, three practices or whatever there. But I do think Ronnie Stanley at this stage, when you do need to kind of find out about where is he from a full-blown compete standpoint, and how much does he trust in himself and everything else, I do think, you know, I'm not saying he needs to play a ton, but could he play a quarter, you know, a couple of series in one of these games? I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world. Like, I know Lamar won't be playing in these games, but Rashad Bateman, whenever he comes back, if he comes back, like, I don't know. I might want to try to get him tuned up in one of these games, especially if he's already missed some time. I came up with more names on defense. Those were the guys offensively who stood out for me because, again, like, we know Rosengarten's going to play. Mm-hmm. Like, we know, you know, Jones is going to play. We know the kids competing for guard are, you know, are going to play.
Yeah, those are definitely the two big ones offensively. I mean, defensively, what about a Broderick Washington? I mean,
he's
after,
on my list
after last season. I mean, I think he definitely needs to get some run in the preseason, and I'm sure he had to have been motivated from last year. He was a healthy scratch in that Bengals game after getting that contract extension last training camp. So, I mean, and we know if there was one hole in this defense last year, you could run the football on them. Their yards per carry was, you know, bottom 10, bottom 15 in the league last year. And Broderick Washington, he's supposed to be that big run stuff from the middle.
Brandon Stevens is going to play tonight, isn't he? Like, is he a guy that you put in bubble wrap?
I would, but I also know you can only sit so many people. I feel like there's enough depth there and enough young depth that, like, I would... Actually, the corner I had there was Marlon, just because of how much time he's missed.
Sure, he's not playing.
And just from a rhythm tempo standpoint, does he, like, again, I don't think he's playing tonight in the rain, but, like, I don't know. Does he get a couple series? Like, could that just sort of help him? Maybe. I don't know. Like, Bone mentioned Brody. For me, Travis Jones.
Yeah.
You're off to a great start. You're dominating against this group of offensive linemen who maybe some of them might end up being a little over their heads. Let's see what you can do against some people wearing other uniforms. Are you really ready to make the leap? I mean, obviously, Trenton Simpson,
yes.
He's going to have to play. Now, does he play a little different role in the preseason than he might in the regular season? Because none of us think Roquan's going to play. So does he get to wear the dot and get people aligned and become even more invested in the defense that way in these games that don't count in the standings? Like Eddie Jackson, I know he knows people here. Yeah. Like, I know he's played with Roquan before, and I know he's got familiarity with guys on the coaching staff, but like, I would think, like Marcus with all his injuries, maybe not, but I would think Eddie Jackson does.
Yeah, Marcus and Kyle Hamilton are probably bubble.
I wouldn't touch those.
You don't need to see them, especially Williams because he's getting hurt so much, and Kyle because he's too important. They don't need to play in these games.
No, I wouldn't play them. That's why one of these corners, veteran corners, may have to, just because of the numbers game. But yeah, I think Eddie Jackson could benefit from it, and you know. Owe to me, I don't know. Like, I could go either way on it. I tend to think there's so little there.
Wasn't it last year where there was the one game where he played like a snap?
Yeah.
Came out, remember?
Yeah.
That? For whatever reason.
Yeah, what was that about? Yeah,
What's he doing out there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just don't know that him or Van Noy. I think there's... You've got three games of snaps. Go see what everybody else here can do and go see just how big of a void you might have to fill from the waiver wire or a minor trade or somebody on the street. Like, I don't know that there's a whole lot of value in that.
It seems to me like guys like Josh Ross, he's going to play like 40, 50 snaps tonight. Like Tavius Ross, Robinson, same kind of thing. Like those kind of guys. David Ajabo might have to play the whole game. Like he's not a starter, but like we're talking about starter. But yeah. He's a guy that was supposed to be a starter, and he's not shown anything. So he's healthy. He's got to be out there.
Yeah. Now, again, because he's coming off an injury, is there some sort of pitch count involved? But over the course of these three games, I would think his workload is noteworthy, is somewhat substantial.
It needs to be because he hasn't played much football in his NFL career. I mean, all of these reps that he can get are valuable.
Ravens and the Eagles tonight. It looks like I'm seeing videos now down there. The rain has stopped at M&T Bank Stadium as the field probably...
Sun coming out.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to stick. That would be nice.
But we got football back at the bank for the first time since that disappointing game in January against the Chiefs. Coming up next, back to baseball. We at the Hot Corner. We got the O's lineup for you and some storylines that we're going to be looking at as far as this team down the stretch. I'll give you a hint. They got to lean on their defense if they can. That's next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays playing the first of three tonight. Colton Cowser leading off in left field. Anthony Santander back in right field batting second. Gunnar Henderson's your shortstop batting third. Ryan Oren batting fourth at first base. Eloy Jimenez is your DH batting fifth. Jackson Holliday batting sixth at second base. Cedric Mullins in center field batting seventh. Ramon Urias is your third baseman batting eighth. And James McCann doing the catching batting ninth. No Mountie, no Adley in tonight's lineup.
Yeah, I wonder how much O'Hearn we see at first base. Obviously against righties, but maybe even occasionally against some lesser lefties as well down the stretch. Again, Eloy Jimenez has found a fairly consistent role in this lineup as a DH. I just think there's a lot of regression coming if he doesn't start hitting the ball.
He's 4-for-5
a little
against
bit.
Littell.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm glad the outfield defense is arranged the way it is. I think that's something they're going to have to embrace. I think Cedric Mullins is going to have to play more than he is because they don't have frankly, they don't have good enough other outfielders for him just to be a fourth or fifth guy. I just think
the defense going to have
to play.
I think
that's a luxury they can't afford themselves or convince themselves that they can take. And I actually think if you played him a little more, he would hit pretty well. He was hitting pretty well for a while. Mm. What do you mean?
Until he stopped hitting. They stopped playing him after he stopped hitting again.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We'll look it up.
Eflin against his old team. Obviously, he knows them. They know him. We'll see what that brings out. This is a very different Rays team than one that we're accustomed to since they last played the Orioles. They obviously traded Eflin. They traded multiple arms out of their bullpen.
Rosarena.
They've traded a Rosarena. They've traded Paredes. Palacios got hurt. Josh Lowe's been banged up intermittently again. They're also starting to get some pitchers back there, right? Springs has come back. I think they just activated Rasmussen. Boz is back now. Pepio is down. Bradley looked like a stud for about 7-8 starts. Then he had a rough one. They're a little bit of a different team than we're used to. I'm just wondering, guys, as we were talking about during the break, Brandon Hyde's come out and said that they're going to have an update on Webb and Grayson tomorrow.
Mike Elias giving the update tomorrow. Mike Elias going to speak to the media with an update on those guys. Which kind of tells me...
That's never great news.
No. So I will... to me, it probably means one of those guys is done for the year, and I'd lean... Webb, because it's an elbow. Mm-hmm. John Heyman was on MLB Central. I was telling you guys this off the air yesterday, and he said that people he's talking to think it's going to be a month, that they feel like he'll be back in a month, which gets you to September, and he's back. They said it's a mild strain. Now, maybe something's changed in the last few days, but the elbow with Webb scares the hell out of me, because you know how important the elbow is.
Oh, yeah. It
definitely scares you, because Webb is one of their better relievers. And also with Grayson, I mean, guys, they're going to have to try and thread this needle with several players now in terms of ramping them up and getting them ready to go for hopefully an October run. I mean, when you're talking about Grayson, you're talking about Westberg, you're talking about Jorge Mateo.
Hopefully Coulombe.
Yeah. Coulombe. I mean,
September.
Yeah, all of those guys, you're looking September.
Orioles have also signed Gene Segura to a minor league deal, infielder who I can remember, Jason, a couple years ago, we were talking about the Orioles should sign.
Well, he had been a high on-base percentage guy, and a couple years ago, I guess it was back when they signed Frazier, I kind of felt like Segura could be an interesting bat for them then. As he's gotten older, his productivity has waned. He's been more of a second baseman than a shortstop lately. I don't know if they're going to put him in Norfolk with thoughts of him maybe playing short. I don't think he could play short as well as Soto could. He's got a more accomplished major league bat than Soto, but Soto was hitting the ball really good in AAA for the Reds when they acquired him.
Segura last year, though, 556 OPS in 85 games.
He hadn't played this year.
He's fallen off, but again, this team is very compromised right now. We've talked about the defensive struggles from night to night and who's playing. We also know that the only security net on this roster right now behind Gunner at shortstop is Jackson Holliday, who's struggling to hold his own at second. Now, that the bat, obviously, extraordinary. But, they're carrying a couple guys who you don't really want to put in the field and, from the right side right now in Mayo and Eloy Jimenez. Like, they're not as deep at the major league level as they once were with options, because Norby and Stowers are gone.
Yes.
And Heston is on the concussion list.
By the way, every time there's a fork in the road injury-wise with him, I feel bad for the kid. Like, the hamstring was a complete hamstring thing. The myocarditis. And now this with the concussion, the lingering, it just seems like nothing's ever easy for him.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not. And with that, you just never know. I mean, you never know when you're asymptomatic completely and whatever. But he would be another guy again where you like the bat, but where does the glove fit?
Sure.
How many of those types of guys can you carry at any given time? Just think if even like Jorge Mateo was back, the flexibility it would provide.
Sure.
Like, maybe you don't even need Slater if you've got him, because you're thinking, well, he could fill in at right or center or left. And that's going to allow us to keep Soto's glove around, so Jackson doesn't have to worry if something happens to Gunner. Gunner needs a day off. Now I'm playing short for the first time. Like, they're I feel like they're sort of hemorrhaged in a bunch of different ways.
And the injuries just keep piling up right now, and we'll find out what happens with Grayson Hider. Webb tomorrow. But it's not good. Not good, Bob.
I want to get back to Segura for a second. Like, you sign him, it's August 9th. He hasn't played in the major leagues this year.
Have you looked at the Nofotai's lineup lately? Like, yeah. I mean, why not? Why not?
I wonder what kind of shape the guy's in.
I don't know.
Yeah. They are. It is becoming, you mentioned earlier in the week, Jason, it's looking like the 4A team that a AAA team's supposed to look like now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did Cooper get hurt, but they brought in J.D. Davis, and now Gene Segura. It's going to be a fun group of guys.
Scrappy.
Maybe we can get Ryan McKenna back.
Who do you want to put on from the Tides next week? You want to put, I don't know, Vavra?
Yeah, he's there. You remember when we,
did you ever get Blake Hunt? Did that ever happen?
No, it never happened.
That never materialized.
No, Blake Hunt never joined us.
Maverick Hanley?
No.
I was up for some Maverick Hanley.
I could talk to some Maverick Hanley.
Hudson Haskin? He's getting a run there now. He's getting a run.
Yeah. Maybe when Dylan Beavers gets there.
Yeah.
Get him back. We had him on when we were in Bowie.
Yes.
Hey, coming up next, we'll get the look at the Tampa side of things. Mark Topkin covers the Rays for the Tampa Bay Times. He joins us next here on The Fan. Orioles and Rays, 1-3 tonight in St. Pete. So it's a perfect time to bring on Mark Topkin, who covers the Rays for the Tampa Bay Times. And Mark, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. Let's start by looking back a little, shall we? And the trade deadline, were you surprised the Rays didn't do more? Like Fairbanks still there, Diaz still there?
Yes and no. I think I thought it was kind of going to be Fairbanks or Jason Adam, and they traded Jason Adam. I thought it was going to be Diaz or Paredes, and they traded Paredes. Brandon Lau was one I was kind of on the fence, wasn't sure which way they were going to go. I don't think they were trying to come out of this as like a total strip down, like the Orioles had to do a number of years ago, like the Astros did a number of years ago. They were trying to kind of end somewhere in the middle. I mean, they think they came out of this with a chance to still compete for a wild card spot, maybe a little lesser than where they were, but they didn't have a great chance before, so it wasn't like they were taking a super contending team and tearing it apart, but they also didn't want to do a total makeover. So they kept some guys they have control over going forward. Fairbanks is signed for another year plus an option. Diaz is signed for another year plus an option. Lau is at the end of his guaranteed, but they have two options on him at reasonable prices.
Well, Mark, what did you think about the Rays trade with the O's for Zach Eflin, and how do you look back on his year and a half in Tampa?
Surprised they traded within the division. Typically, they don't do that. In fact, usually their pattern, if you look back at it, their trades, especially if starting pitchers, are almost always to National League teams, it seems like. So they don't come back and haunt them four times a year like Eflin will have the chance to do next year. It used to be six, obviously, under the old schedule format, but yeah, so I was a little surprised that they traded Zach Eflin. Quite a bit surprised they traded him to the Baltimore Orioles, a team that, you know, they're going to be competing with for the next few years. And, you know, obviously it doesn't look like it this year, but in theory, the rest of this year as well. As far as how he pitched here, he pitched pretty good. Not at a super elite level, but a pretty solid level, which I think is what, you know, was expected of him and what he was hoping to do. Probably deserved to make the All-Star team last year. Didn't make it. Ended up, I think, sixth in the Cy Young voting. So a little bit of love there from the baseball writers in terms of what he did. And this year, probably not quite as consistent as he was last year, but still pretty decent numbers.
We know the probables. Well, we know who's starting tonight. How do they go in an opener tomorrow, do you think? Do they pen it up? And then Sunday is Springs. I know he just got back, but what are the early returns on him?
Yeah, Springs, going backward on your question, Springs has been two starts. He's been a little inconsistent. I mean, the other day he got them in a hole early. He gave up, in a three-pitch span, he gave up two-run homers, which is hard to do.
Yeah,
but he did, and that was kind of their ball game. They lost that game, I think, 4-2. His first start was okay. The velocity's there. It's just going to take a little while. I mean, he's a feel pitcher. He's not a power pitcher, so even though he had nine starts at AAA, he had a very long rehab there, two starts here. He's still getting his feel. The changeup is such a feel pitch, and that's kind of his best pitch. So I think that's definitely a factor. As far as tomorrow, it looks like Tyler Alexander probably behind an opener. He's had more success in that fashion. And it's possible that Drew Rasmussen could be that opener. He's a power arm that they brought back. He made his first appearance the other night, and they want to give him a couple days off between appearances, at least initially. So it could be he's the opener. We'll see. Usually they tell us after the game tonight who the opener is, if there is one for tomorrow.
We're talking to Mark Topkins, Inside Access, here on The Fan. Mark, I want to get your initial impressions on a couple of the outfielders, or the couple of outfielders that the Rays acquired at the deadline, Dylan Carlson and Morel. What do you think of them and just the future of those guys there?
Yeah, they think really highly of Morel. I mean, they think he's going to be a guy. They're playing him at second base right now. I know the Cubs played him left field, right field, third base as well. But they seem to think his best position is second base, so they're trying him there for now. That was part of the reason of trading him for Paredes, is he's got another year of control. They feel like he has similar power to Paredes. Mm-hmm. And actually, plus he actually hits them to the other side of the field too, whereas Paredes has hit every career homer to left field. And that they also think that the versatility. So extra year of control, similar power, more defensive versatility. So they kind of feel like they've got a little better package there, but obviously we'll see if he can play as well and produce as much as Paredes did.
Mark, I guess, how surprised or impressed have you been with the Rays, given their deficiencies, but they're still two games above 500 despite all of it?
Well, and that's going back to your first question, and part of the reason that they didn't go for an all-out rebuild was they felt like, you know, they could hang in this thing. You know, five games doesn't seem insurmountable. There's two teams ahead of them, plus the Royals, who have the third wild card. So it's going to be a little tricky. Rays have a tough schedule. They obviously play Baltimore this weekend and again later. They actually have a trip where they play Baltimore, at Philly, at Cleveland. That could be three. That could literally be the three best records in the majors at that point. And that's going to be a rugged start to September. But that was part of it. Is they have this core. They feel like they're going to be really good next year when they get Shane McClanahan back. He's throwing off a mound now. He missed all year with Tommy John. Springs will be fully ready for a full season. Rasmussen will be back. He'll be ready for a full season. Obviously, you see what they've got with Taj Bradley. They love Ryan Pepiot, who just is on a short IL stint now, who they got from the Dodgers for Glasnow. He's a high-velocity guy they think can do a lot for them. So they feel pretty good about their chances for next year, starting with the rotation and then using this year to kind of fill in a little bit with the position players and figure out who they have, what they need, what they have to go get.
They obviously have been a super progressive organization and kind of the first to go to the opener. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but next year, could you see them going six-man all year, because you're going to have, between guys coming back from Tommy John, right, guys like Boz who still are going to be kind of in between, and it looks like that the strength of that team might be starting pitching and starting pitching depth. Like, I wonder if they zig where others zag and maybe lean into that, because if these guys all come back, it could be pretty interesting, but they're all going to have something in the rearview mirror that's not ideal.
Yeah, I don't think so. They philosophically have never embraced a six-man. Mm-hmm. I think they're more likely to trade one of those guys in spring training if they all get there healthy and they're all ready to go, and, you know, have that depth that they like to have at AAA. But I don't think they would go into a season with six-man. Plus, they use the bullpen so much.
Yeah.
That you'd be, you know, just obviously limiting yourself by having one less option down there.
Mark, let's close with this. You're an unbiased observer. The Orioles and Yankees tied for first place as they head down the stretch. Who do you give the edge to?
I don't think there's any question. In my opinion, the Orioles are the better team and should be able to open up a pretty good gap. The Yankees have been, I know they struggled, then they had a little bit of a surge, and now they look pretty struggling again, but the Orioles, I mean, I'm surprised the Orioles haven't been able to open up a bigger gap on them, to be honest with you.
Mark Topkin covers the Rays for the Tampa Bay Times. Mark, always great,
thank
man.
You.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys, you got it.
Coming up next, we'll get the text of the day, and most importantly, we'll get you ready for Baltimore baseball tonight. It's T-Bone, Tim Barbalace, it's Jim Hunter, and it's at 6 here on The Fan. Jason is heading to the Ravens game tonight with his son, who looks very excited about it. It's a big first preseason game.
It's a big one.
Eagles, Ravens.
Starting a new streak.
Guys are sitting in some swanky
They're
seats.
They're going to make some history tonight.
Yeah. I heard Sharky's a big Josh Johnson fan.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Is there anybody you're excited to see tonight?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah.
Wow, very quiet.
Yeah,
very
really clammed up. Yeah.
The older they get, the less they have to say.
Happened with Rocco, too. Yeah, he started to get quiet. Yeah.
Start to feel the microphone.
Yeah, well.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Well, he still makes fun of me, though, on my facial.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Well, you got rid of that mustache.
He's got, yeah, the stash is gone. Yeah.
You got rid of that ridiculous mustache. That was probably thanks to Shark.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
By the way, I do want to tell you real quick before we get the text today. So I went out to breakfast with our friend Aloysius.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he said, this was a pure Aloysius move. So we went out. And he says, "No, my treat." And I was like, "Wait a second." He says, "I got gift cards."
There you go.
So we go. I'm not going to tell you where we went because we can't. But so I said, "I got to get going because I got to get ready for the show. I got to walk the dog, yada, 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 yada." So I said, "I'm going to go use the restroom and then I'm going to get out of here."
Yeah.
So I go use the restroom. I come back. He goes, "They won't take a tip on the gift card. Do you have any cash for the waitress?"
He did cover your meal.
He did, but
he covered it with gift cards.
But he could have used that on himself.
Sure,
you got to look at it through his prism.
He was he was great. And I told the girl to charge me for something. And I tipped her because I didn't have any cash on me.
Yeah.
It's funny they now charge you extra for cards now that nobody carries cash anymore.
Hmm.
You know, it's an interesting scam.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get the text of the day. You didn't know that there's
like
a search
credit card fee?
Surcharge. Yeah, yeah.
The gas stations do it, too.
Well, gas, I knew that.
Text of the Day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. This texter says, Gunnar Henderson has been struggling with power since the All-Star break. Do we think that the training has hurt him in the power-wise?
Didn't hurt Bobby Witt at all.
No.
He hardly took him, like...
He was scuffling going into the break, too.
He was training for it early, though.
Yeah, they all were.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he wasn't going to sustain the pace he was on forever.
Yeah, to your point, Jay, that he hit a home run in that final game that Sunday prior to the All-Star break, but that was kind of his first one in a little bit at that point.
I'm sure he will
he'll get hot again.
Hit for more power down the stretch. I'm more worried about Adley than him.
Yes.
You know, I'm more worried about some other things going on defensively right
pitching.
Now. Yeah.
And a reminder, Mike Elias meeting with the media tomorrow with updates on Grayson Rodriguez and Jacob Webb.
Let's hope that at least one of them isn't totally dire.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of them probably will be.
What if he just came out and said that they're all good?
He flew down to Florida to say everything's good. When's the last time he had one of these?
Right,
and it was all good.
Right, I don't ever recall one where it wasn't.
He's not going to come out in tap shoes and start dancing. it's usually somebody's getting shut down.
Yeah,
the last one was Means and Wells.
Yeah, there might have even been one other.
There might
one
have been
after
one more.
That.
I feel like.
I don't know if Coulomb got his own one.
No, Coulomb was part of that too. He said September.
That, part of that batch. Cluster.
Yeah. He said, yeah, Means and Wells done. Coulomb back in September. Yeah.
I remember the Batista one right around a year ago.
Yeah. And then
he went to start talking, and the speakers started blaring For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica so loud that we couldn't hear what he was saying. And I was like, I don't even need you to say it. I know. Like this. Like,
was that before or after he was doing all those bullpens?
This was before. No,
was
this
after
was
before. Shut him down.
Was this the
this
shut
was
him down?
When they were like, it's bad. He's going to be, you know, he could miss all year.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's it for us, but don't change that
Have
dial.
A great weekend.
Yes, and we'll see. Hey, Monday.
On that note,
Monday,
Angler by the sea in Ocean City.
Shark, are you coming to Angler
down
by the sea?
Down by the inlet. He'll be there for some period of time.
Come on.
Yeah. You'll be there.
You got to at least say hi.
Yeah, you will.
Have you met Ultimate Football Guy?
Bobby D. He knows Bobby D.
No,
He's partied at Bobby D's, hung out at Bobby D's pool.
Okay. Nice.
They've got the little deli there. They got everything there.
Bobby D. Legend. We're going to be hanging out with the Ultimate Football Guy on Monday. But Baltimore baseball tonight's coming up next. Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter getting you ready for Orioles baseball here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The job market is constantly changing, and at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too, working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.